The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony Tim Tebow might be done with football. When do you think you're going to hang it up?
Tony Kornheiser, sometime after the big finish, but before we take that SportsCenter segment, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I figured you'd try to find a way to skip out on that, baby.
Yeah, that one, yeah. Yeah, I'll do the big finish, though. I think that's good. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, Urban Meyer releases Tim Tebow, Joel Embiid signs an extension, and Sean Payton has a quarterback dilemma. But we begin today with our new best friend, Dak Prescott. Prescott practiced lightly last night, and head coach Mike McCarthy said that if Prescott doesn't play in this Saturday's third exhibition game, he won't play in the exhibition season at all. Now, Wilbon, McCarthy and Jerry Jones have previously said it was important for Prescott to play before the actual season started. Do you think it's important he plays in the exhibition games?
Tony, I don't know about important. I think it's important he get healthy. That's important, however you measure that. Whether you need to see him in an exhibition game, if you're preseason game, if you're the coach, okay. But first of all, I don't believe anything that any of these coaches and owners and GMs say during the preseason because it doesn't matter. It's like saying, okay, this guy's my starter. They announced the starter in February. No, he's not your starter because you don't have any games in February, March, April, May, June, July, or August. So stop. So in the case of Dak Prescott, who now has his money, they need to make sure he's healthy going forward. They don't need to lie to the public. They don't need to state it over and over again to this interview and put it on social media. They need to know whether or not he's healthy and put him out there and see if he can play when that is determined.
Yeah, I don't think it's important he plays in exhibition games at all. He's been there 5 years. He knows the personnel. Mike McCarthy's offense is not rocket science. But like you, I want to know, is he healthy? I think if he was completely healthy, Mike McCarthy would stand up and shout from the rooftops, get off him, get off me, he's 100% good, we're all right. I haven't heard that. I've heard precautionary MRIs. I've heard let's send him to the Texas Rangers to be looked at. I think the Cowboys have allowed the medical sort of uncertainty to simmer and linger. I'll tell you this, Mike. If I ran the Cowboys, I'd put him out there in this exhibition game for one series so I can say to people, shut up. Now, I don't know that I'd let him pass the ball. If he passes the ball like Cam Newton from last year, then we got a problem. I just think we're going to have this story for a while. I do.
You know what, Tony? I think people need to stop making declarations during the preseason. It's the damn preseason. Go about your business. Get the team ready. Stop posting things on social media and shut up. But they're not going to do that. And the medical uncertainty is what they commented on every day, and that's why we have this. The tight end experiment is over for Tim Tebow. The Jaguars released Tebow this morning after he struggled blocking in his first preseason game. Coach Urban Meyer said Tebow's lack of tackling experience kept him from contributing then to special teams, adding, quote, players loved him, locker room loved him, but it was the right thing, close quote. Tone, what does the Jaguars' release of Tebow say to you about Urban Meyer and his transition to the NFL?
I don't, Mike, think it says anything sweeping at all. I think he looked at Tim Tebow, who we loved from college and probably brought him on for sentimental reasons, and decided he couldn't play in the NFL as a tight end, which doesn't surprise anybody because he was a quarterback, and it's hard to make that transition. I think when you cut a guy from going from 90 players to 85 players, that's way different than cutting from 55 to 50. When you cut a guy from 90 to 85 in the first cut, you're saying it's over, son. This is not something you can do. And Urban Meyer's got to win games. He's not Santa Claus. You know, this is the job he took.
You know, when I heard this, Tony, this morning, this meant nothing to me about Urban Meyer. I didn't even think about Urban Meyer. It meant something to me about Tim Tebow, who, it's not like we're boys, but I've talked to Tim Tebow a few times in my life, and actually some conversations that meant something to me to listen to him. And I like Tim Tebow. You know, I always have. I thought some of these things about some of the hype was crazy, but I just like him. I like hearing him. He's been on this network, probably other networks too. I like listening to him. I hope this means he will now do what so many others have done before him. When time is up on whatever the field or diamond or court is, and they find the microphone and a blazer, and they go, oh, this is pretty good because I can stay right here. I sit next to somebody often who a lot more famous than Tim Tebow, Magic Johnson. When it was over, it's over. And you go, okay, here's a new role. I think Tim Tebow can be great in that. He's a star. He's fun to listen to. He is a nice, nice, nice person in my experience. I don't care about Urban Meyer and the Jaguars. I could give a damn. But I want to hear Tim Tebow. I hope he's front and center continuously.
So Tim Tebow has been on television. He's got a job on television.
Yes, yes.
And Mike, it obviously does not satisfy him completely.
Well,
he appears to be a career athlete. He has tried baseball. He's tried football. Look, there are things he could do. I mean, he could go on America Ninja Warrior, or they could bring back, ABC could bring back Battle of the Network Stars, and he could host it, he could be on it, or he could do what Herschel Walker did. He could push a bobsled. The Winter Olympics are about an hour and a half away, and he could do that. And I will take up for your point. I like Tim Tebow as well. I think he's a surrogate for all of us in a way that he keeps trying. He's always happy about it. He's never discouraged. He thanks everybody for giving him the opportunity.
Yes.
I sort of think he's Peter Pan. And I hope it works out, but eventually he's going to have to become an adult like the rest of us.
But you're not a lifetime athlete, Tone. You're not a lifetime athlete because it's father time. Either that, either father time, and he is 34, or you're just not good enough.
He's only
in his
30s.
And it's okay. He tried.
He's only in his
30s. He's so great for trying. God bless him. I love that about him, too. But I don't
think he'll go camp to camp, but I think he'll try something. I do.
Okay.
Joel Embiid has agreed to a supermax deal with the 76ers that will keep him in Philadelphia through 2027 and will pay him a total of $261 million, including $54 million in the final year. The contract is fully guaranteed, and it contains no catastrophic injury clause that would alleviate the financial burden on the 76ers. Wilbon, is this a risky investment by Philadelphia?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course it is, Tony. It's risky anytime you do this and the person hasn't yet gotten you to a conference final. It's risky just on the performance level, right? And then you got the health level. Although Embiid's been healthier those first 2 years, he redshirted. And he's been better. I think he missed 11 games this year before the playoffs. So Embiid has shown his willingness to play through these injuries. He played with a torn meniscus, or at least a partially torn meniscus, and he's a great player, all right? I know I'm higher on him than you are. I'll ride with Joel Embiid anytime. The question for the Sixers ain't about Joel Embiid primarily. The big risk is what are you going to do with Ben Simmons? Because they don't have a number two player. You need a number two guy who's also almost number one. They don't know. We don't know whether he's going to be on that team. I would trade him, but it's less a risk than the Ben Simmons situation that's playing out in Philadelphia right now, but still a risk.
So my first reaction was, my God, this is a tremendous amount of money.
Yeah.
When you think about all the people in all the countries that say, if I could make $1 million a year, I would crawl through fire on broken glass. And it's just a staggering sum of money. Now, is he worth it? Okay. Let's go to those injuries and what he's done. Let's just go to the last 4 years. He missed 18 games 3 years ago, played 64, missed 22 2 years ago, played 51, missed 21 this past year, played 51. So he's now playing about 70% of the time. So is it risky? Yeah, it's risky. Is it stupid risky? No, I don't think it's stupid risky. And as you say, he tried to play in the playoffs with this injury, with a torn meniscus. Can they beat the Nets? I don't think they can beat the Nets, but like you, I'm not going to pin that all on Embiid. I mean, what are you doing with Ben Simmons? What is the rest of your team? So even I, and I think he's yappy, and I don't particularly like him, even I would try to keep him for as long as they're going
to
try and keep him.
They
have to. He's 27 years old. How?
Yeah.
You can't, if you get rid of him, you're not getting another guy as good as him. You're not.
Tony, put it this way. They had to sign him. Even if we agree it's risky, they still had to do it. You ain't going to catch Brooklyn without Joel Embiid. All right, that's so you right. better make right. him the centerpiece, literally and figuratively, right. of what you are doing.
And you're not
going
to catch Milwaukee either without him. You're
that's
just
right.
not.
That's
Let's
right.
take a
that's
break.
It.
Coming up, should Sean Payton replace Drew Brees with Jameis Winston or Taysom Hill?
And would the Cubs and Reds deliver a good sequel to last week's Field of Dreams game? No. No. And no.
Do you think that Tebow could push the bobsled like Herschel did?
No, don't go
get in the Winter
there.
Olympics. Why? He likes it. He likes athletics. Likes competition.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, starts writing tomorrow's happies before realizing he's taking the day off, then finishes them anyway because he's a creature of habit. What's first?
Toss-up, who should Sean Payton start in game one? Taysom Hill or Jameis Winston?
Sean Payton has had time to figure this out. He's had both these guys on his squad for more than a year now, and he has known that Drew Brees was going to leave eventually. So this shouldn't be that hard for him. If it was me, I would start Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston has a big arm. Jameis Winston won a national championship. Jameis Winston was the number one overall pick of the NFL draft, and he's an actual true quarterback. Yes, he throws a lot of interceptions, Mike, but he throws a lot of touchdown passes, too. Taysom Hill is a gimmick. He's fun to watch. I think if you put him out there all the time, I have the same fears for him that I have for Lamar Jackson. It'll run all the time, and he's going to get hurt, so I wouldn't do that. Jameis Winston has been more effective in the exhibition game so far than Taysom Hill. If we're talking about game one, Mike, I'm not saying you commit to him for the whole season, but I think you commit to him for the first game because he's a real quarterback.
Aren't there two more preseason games to go? Don't people like you slobber over football to the point everybody at every network, including this one, oh, football's back! Well, if it's back
yeah,
and there are two more preseason games to go, then play the damn preseason games and watch what they do. Play each one of them the first half in the next two games. Why have the games? You're a coach. Use your eyes. You can also use all the numbers that your people gather. Why not watch what they do? What do you want to have a combine and determine it that way? Put them on the field and let them play. Let somebody separate himself from the other guy, if he hasn't already, in these two preseason games. Or get these damn games out of my life.
Woman, you're so angry today. You've used the word damn 27 times. You're like heading for a new record. What's next?
Toss up, who would you rather see in next year's Field of Dreams game? The Cubs and the Reds? Or a Yankees-White Sox rematch?
So it's being reported that it's going to be the Cubs and the Reds, which is why we're doing this story.
Look, it's off.
The Cubs stink right now.
Yeah.
And the Cubs are going to stink again next year.
Yes, they are.
Cincinnati, nobody can name anybody on Cincinnati except for Joey Votto. And there are a lot of intelligent people out there who always confuse Joey Votto and Joey Gallo. Why do you put the Cubs and the Reds on? Because they're Midwestern teams. And they're playing this thing in an Iowa cornfield. I completely understand that. Why would you put the White Sox and Yankees on again? for the very simple reason. It had the highest rating of a regular season game in the last 15 years. People liked watching it. And Chicago's a Midwestern team, and everybody was rooting for Chicago in that game. Let them have this thing again. If you want the Cubs on down the road, I get it. Wait another year or so and put the Cubs on with the White Sox. But next year, repeat what you did because it worked.
Baseball got this right. They got the ballpark and the cornfield right. They got everything about it right. The two teams, you get lucky with that in a great game. But is baseball going to go back to being so stupid so quickly? The Cubs aren't just bad, Tony. The Cubs, for the first time in their 146-year history, have two losing streaks in one season of 11 games or more. It's 12 now. They stink like they've never stunk before for a franchise that has homecoming Matt written all over it for most of the last 140 years. And you want to put them in the field? No. You may have to wait 108 more years before you put, this is my team. I won't even go back down that river 8 minutes and turn off to go to Wrigley Field to see them. I won't go see them here. Nobody wants to see the Cubs until they get to be good again. White Sox, Yankees, don't be stupid, even though Major League Baseball majors in that.
That's it. Let's take one last break. Still to come, the Seahawks reportedly get a deal done with Jamal Adams.
And are the Nets and Lakers the right choices for the NBA's marquee Christmas game? Tony, I can't believe they're going to go through with that. You can't put the Cubs on now. I understand why the Cubs are doing what they're doing. They're rebuilding. It's fine. But I don't want to see them.
People really like this game.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 58th birthday, John Gruden. This will be Gruden's fourth season and his second go-round with the Raiders since signing that epic 10-year, $100 million coaching contract. Gruden's teams have improved each year from 4-12 to 7-9 to 8-8. Gruden has job security, but can the same be said for his quarterback, Derek Carr? Now 30, Carr recently said he wants to play another 15 years.
Please.
This may be the season to decide if those next 15 years or spent leaving Las Vegas. The Raiders have been rumored as a possible landing spot for Aaron Rodgers. Gruden was another of those baby coaching hires Al Davis was so fond of making, starting with John Madden. Like Madden, Gruden turned up on Monday Night Football. Like Madden, Gruden won a Super Bowl, though in Tampa Bay, not with the Raiders. Gruden's overall coaching record in the NFL is 114-110.
Gruden's a fine coach, Tony. He's won a Super Bowl, as you mentioned, and not John Madden. And as far as Derek Carr talking about playing till he's 45, everybody in the world now, even if they'll be damn lucky to play, there's another damn, to 31, wants to be Tom Brady. You're not Tom Brady, all right? Nobody's playing again till 45. Stop the hype. Sports hype is just ruining the world. Everybody take a moment and be quiet.
Al Davis used to hire guys when they were in their early 30s. Did it a lot.
He
worked
did.
Out a couple of times. Happy anniversary, Patrick Mahomes. On this day 3 years ago, Mahomes connected with Tyreek Hill on a strike that traveled 70 yards in the air for a touchdown against Atlanta in an exhibition game. Hill outran three defenders on the play, and Mahomes drilled it. The television commentators concentrated on how fast Hill was rather than how far Mahomes threw that ball on a straight line. This was the exhibition season before Mahomes' first season as the Chiefs starter. Andy Reid had made that decision to give the teams to Mahomes and had traded Alex Smith away to Washington. But nobody truly knew how sensational Mahomes was going to become or how quickly. In that first year, Mahomes went 12-4. He threw 50 touchdowns. In his brief career so far, Mahomes is 44-10 as a starter in regular season games and playoff games with 131 touchdowns and 28 interceptions. Mike, he's the best player in football.
Okay, but if you had to win a game tonight and your life was on the line, Brady or Mahomes,
I at this point would pick Mahomes. I would go against Brady on that one thing. I would.
I'll come and say nice things. I'll eulogize you.
Okay. Happy trails, Cole Hamels. The veteran starter has been placed on the 60-day injured list by the Los Angeles Dodgers, effectively ending his season before it began. Hamels, who hasn't pitched since 2020, had signed a $1 million deal with the Dodgers, who are in search of starting pitching with Clayton Kershaw and Julio Urias injured, among others. The Dodgers were hoping Hamels might be ready to help them come September, but he reportedly experienced arm pain during a simulated inning yesterday. Hamels is 37. He missed nearly all of last season with a shoulder injury after signing a one-year, $18 million contract with the Atlanta Braves. He made one start. He went 3 1/3 innings. So if you do the math, over the last two seasons, Hamels will have been paid $19 million for 10 outs. 10 outs!
You know, Tony, I thought when the Cubs got Hamels a few years ago, it was going to lead to another World Series run. I thought he might have been that missing piece. That was a little bit too ambitious, but he's had a terrific career, Tone, but it appears to be over.
Yes, it is a great career. I mean, there's a lot of pitchers. A lot of pitchers at this point who are about between 150 and 200 wins, who you remember for a long time as being very effective. Yeah. Let's go to the big finish. Patrick Beverley was traded again. What? The Grizzlies sent him to the T-Wolves. Yesterday you said he'd be the face of the Grizzlies. What happened?
I know. But they got this kid Culver, Tony, who was like the fifth or sixth player chosen a couple of seasons ago. I mean, maybe this is a good deal for Memphis. I don't know. I got to stop trying to project some of these trade results. Joey Votto got his 2,000th hit last night against the Cubbies. Big deal?
He's a really good player, and a lot of smart people, as I've said before, confuse him with Joey Gallo.
I do.
A lot of smart people. Marcus Smart and the Celtics agreed to a four-year, $77 million extension. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I think he's undervalued with the amounts of money some people are getting. Seriously? The Seahawks and Jamal Adams reportedly agreed to a new deal. Is that significant?
Look, he's a really great safety, okay? And they gave up a lot to get him, and they wanted to keep him. But Russell Wilson didn't care about the defense. He talked about the offensive line all the time. So if I'm the Seahawks and I want Russell Wilson to be happy and not criticize me, I'm going after offensive linemen. Last one, the Nets and Lakers will headline the NBA's Christmas Day schedule. I think you think that's a good choice.
Yeah, you got Hawks and Knicks, you got Mavs, Jazz, you got Warriors, Suns, and Utah, and the Mavs. It's a good choice, Tony. I don't know that either one of them's going to win the championship like everybody has them doing, but I want to see them play each other on Christmas night.
I have them winning a championship. We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time, and I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Big stars. So many stars. I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the podcast on the app or Apple Podcasts. And now, your sports center.
I think if the Nets are healthy, they're the prohibitive favorite.
They are the favorite.